This is your day to shine. So I want to give you words. I want to give you a phrase from Scripture today. The most important phrase a human being can say. I want to give you a strategy for life. The greatest strategy that has ever been discovered. It is to the spiritual realm what the law of gravity is to the physical realm. People sometimes wonder, if you're a Christian, what's the most important stuff for you to believe about Jesus? And often it kind of deteriorates into, like, if I want to get into heaven, what do I have to affirm? Sometimes people think it's something about his nature, his divinity, or a theory of the atonement that I'm supposed to affirm, or something about the Trinity. Those are all real important questions, real important topics. But they're not exactly what gets expressed in the oldest and most beautiful words that we have about the story of Jesus, those words that Paul includes in his letter to the church of Philippi in the second chapter. And I read for you and me now Jerry Hawthorne's translation of them and invite you, as you hear these words, just think real deeply about them. Be wide open now to what God might be saying to you. This way of thinking must be adopted by you, which also was the way of thinking adopted by Christ Jesus. Precisely because he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God grounds for grasping. On the contrary, he rather poured himself out by taking the form of a slave, by being born in the likeness of human beings, by being recognized as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of accepting death, and that of all things, death on a cross. As a consequence, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and conferred on him the name that is above every name, in order that before the name that Jesus bears, every knee might bow, of heavenly beings and of earthly beings and of beings under the earth, in order that every tongue might openly and thankfully acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We've been looking over the last couple days at Jesus coming down the ladder, humbling himself. Now, in verse 9, everything changes. Where in the first half of the great Christ hymn, Jesus is the subject of the verse. He humbles himself, takes on the form of a servant, becomes obedient. Now, in the second half of the verse, he's the object. Second half of the hymn, it's God that's the subject. God is doing the actions to and for Jesus. In the first half, he is on his way down. In the second half, he is on his way back up. In the spiritual realm, what goes down must come up. In the first half, he goes down on a series of stages. We watch that throughout his life because in this world we live stage by stage by stage, and things may not turn out the way that we want them to at all. But one day that is all going to be reversed. And in the second half of this verse, in a moment, in a flash, in an instant, the most dramatic reversal, which in fact becomes the hinge of human history, as we will see, God therefore exalted Jesus Christ. Now, the ninth verse begins with a couple of little tiny words. They're grammatically called conjunctions. Jerry translates them as a consequence, therefore. And the point of this, he says, is that what's going on with Jesus, what happens to Jesus, is not so much a reward of what he does. It's not a gift based on his merit. They affirm what Jesus taught, which is in the divine order of things, self humbly leads inevitably to exaltation. This is an inflexible law of God's kingdom that operates without variance, equally applicable for Christians at Philippi as for Christ himself and as for you and for me. You must die in order to live. The one who becomes the servant is the great one. The one who is slave of all is the greatest of all. God exalts those who humble themselves. Love is always worth it. However things turn out in circumstances, this great hinge of history, which we begin to see in the resurrection of Jesus, is in operation cosmically and in your life and in my life and in eternity. And therefore, the therefore to this is we double down on the cross. I got a real good buddy who's real big in investments, and he loves that phrase in gambling. You hit a point. I think it comes from blackjack. How would I know? I'm a pastor. I'd never gamble. But there's a point where, like, you might have developed a strategy and it looks pretty risky. You can back out if you want to. If you're really all in, not only do you not back out, I'm going to double down. I'm all in. Jesus in the garden, things are looking real risky, even for Jesus himself. He's thinking, let this cup pass from me. He said, no, I'm all in. Not my will, but yours be done. Peter picks up a sword. When the soldiers come, Jesus, you don't have to do this. Don't. No, I'm going to double down on the cross. I'm going all the way with this. So we're invited to double down on the cross when I feel most guilty or inadequate or failure, which I do, which I wrestle with in these days. No, I'm going to double down on the cross. It is more powerful even than my failure and my sin. When I'm tempted to self-promote, to worry about my money, my reputation, what could I have as God enables me? I'm going to double down on the cross. This is the great hinge of history. Jerry goes on to write, the aorist tense of the verb to exalt is actually, Paul probably makes this word up. It's the only time I think it's used in the New Testament. Super exalt. He uses that little word hooper, hyper exalt. To refer to that moment in history marked by the resurrection ascension of Christ. Jesus Christ, who humbled himself in obedience to God to the point of accepting death in his most horrible form, was resurrected from the dead by God and was raised to the supreme place of authority and given that name that is above every name, and that name is Lord. So here's the phrase. The strategy is we're going to double down on the cross. The phrase is Jesus Christ is Lord. And Paul says this is all done in the hope, in the vision of that day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Wherever you put him, above the earth, in the earth, below the earth, whatever all that means, we're not terribly clear on that kind of stuff. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God, this is really good. Now you understand, when those words got expressed, that thought was ludicrous, that Jesus Christ is the Lord, as John puts it, King of kings and Lord of lords. You put all of the rulers, all of the CEOs, all of the magnates, all of the influences together, and he is over them. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of... That would be a ludicrous thought. It sometimes gets expressed like this. If you were to go back to that day, you go back to when Paul was around and the whole movement of followers of Jesus is a few thousand people. Caesar, who is called Lord, that's his title, Lord. Caesar lives and dies, and he never hears a word about this carpenter in Nazareth. If you had to bet in that moment, 2,000 years from now, who's going to be the one recognized as a world-impacting figure? Nobody is going to put their money on this crucified rabbi and his motley crew. And yet, 2,000 years later, we still give to our children names like Peter and Paul and Mary, and we give our dogs names like Caesar and Nero. This is the hinge of history. Everything turns on this. As a consequence, therefore, God has exalted him. When the calendar came along, in the ancient world, dates were created relative to whoever was reigning at the time in the year number one of Caesar Augustus and the year number two. But over time, their grasp on the human heart, on the human imagination, on human life and culture inevitably began to fade because power, although it looks like so much, money, although it looks sex, I'm going to double down on that. I'm going to double on that. But it always fades. And yet the power and the grip, the vision of this luminous rabbi and his motley crew continued to grow so that by about the 6th century, a monk, Dionysius Exiguus, I think was his Latin name, Little Dennis, came up with his calendar based on the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And it was not just a chronological convenience, it was a claim. Augustine said, in the ancient world, they believed in the wheel of fortune. Things come and they go, they rise and they fall. The same events keep playing out over and over and over. There's folks in our own day with kind of a secularist view. There'll be the Big Bang and then it'll deflate and then come up again. And Augustine said, no, That idea is defeated by this: Jesus Christ died for our sins once for all. Now, maybe Paul was wrong. Maybe the vision is wrong. Maybe Jesus Christ is not Lord of all. But how strange is it that today, 2,000 years later, Nero's death is dated in the year of our Lord, 68. Napoleon Bonaparte's death is dated in the year of our Lord, 1821. Joseph Stalin's death is dated in the year of our Lord, 1953. Maybe he's not King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but how strange is it that in our day, every time you open up a computer or look at a newspaper and you see that date, it makes reference to the hinge of history, precisely this moment that Paul is talking about in his letters to the Church of Philippi, chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, as a consequence, because it is a law in the spiritual realm like the law of gravity that I depend on. I put that book down and I don't worry about it. It's going to go floating off someplace. And even more certain than that is the law in the spiritual realm that we see supremely lived out in the life of Jesus, who said, I'm going to double down on the cross and believe that if I die, I will live again. And if I become a servant of all, that people will see what true greatness looks like, and that self-giving love, not atoms, not quarks, not photons, self-giving love is what lies at the heart of all reality. And 2,000 years later, here we are. So today, double down on the cross. Don't wallow in your inadequacy and your guilt and your darkness. I know all about that. I know. Cross is greater. Don't go through the day trying to self-promote and self-aggrandize, and you and me both, worrying about what do people think of me and how's my reputation and how's my 401k and how can I acquire more. No, I remember the one who reckoned that equality with God was not grounds for acquisition or snatching, but poured himself out. Give myself as a servant in this next conversation, in this next moment, to this next task, in my next words of gratitude, in my words of prayer for whoever I'm with, in my words to you right now. Jesus Christ is Lord. Therefore, double down on the cross. And that is how we shine.
Hey, I'm Tim, part of the team here at Become New, and welcome to my kitchen. This is where I will often watch the Become New videos every morning. Where do you watch the videos? I would love to know. You can put it in the comments. My favorite quote from the episode today was, "In the spiritual realm, what goes down must come up." Did you have a favorite quote today? You can put that in the comments also. Or if God was tugging on your heart about something, we want to know about it, and we want to pray for you. There is a group of us that are just waiting to pray, to spend real actual minutes saying prayers out loud on your behalf. And so you can text us your prayer requests at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for being on this journey with us. We'll see you next time.